And today we're going to complete this series. I know it's the end of January and it's not the end of December, but we're still talking about the prophesied Messiah. And today, this message would have been the appropriate one for like December the 22nd, right before Christmas. But do we actually know the actual date upon which Jesus was born? No, we don't. Did you know that the Greek Orthodox Church celebrates Christmas not December 25th, but they celebrate it in January? Not at this date, but in January. So today we're going to finish this series on the prophesied Messiah has come, and we're looking at Luke chapter 2. And I know we're all familiar with the first portion of Luke chapter 2, where it tells us about the birth of Jesus. But we're going to look at a little bit later, shortly after Jesus' birth, in verses 21 through 40. This is the last message in this present series about the prophesied Messiah. But if you'll think back with me, we've looked at a lot of different passages. We started with the books of Moses. We looked at Adam and Eve in the garden, and at the fall there was a prophetic passage there telling us that, you know, God was going to take care of this sin situation and was going to send someone who would crush the serpent's head. And that someone would be the prophesied Messiah. We looked at several others. We looked at the fact that Abraham and his call, that he was going to be blessed and that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through him and through his seed. And the New Testament tells us that was talking about Jesus. The prophesied Messiah was going to be the one who would bless all the peoples of the earth. We looked at several others. Jacob had a prophetic passage in which Jacob utters a prophecy concerning Judah and ruling over Israel. We also read in Deuteronomy how there was going to be this prophesied Messiah was going to be like unto Moses, and that we should listen to him. And it's quoted in the book of Acts and tells us that this is talking about Jesus. So we've looked at those from the writings of Moses. We looked at the writings of Isaiah. And there are tons and tons, it seems like, prophetic passages there in Isaiah about the virgin birth, that this prophesied Messiah would live in Galilee, that he would be a son, and that his reign would be an eternal reign, that he would be the branch or the root that would pop up out of the stump of Jesse. Several different passages, we saw that he would be the cornerstone, the one that others would reject, but he would become the chief cornerstone of the building, so to speak. We talked about the My Servant passages and how it would be too light a thing for God to save just the Jews. God's purpose was to save the Jews, but also all the peoples of the earth, all the nations, all the Gentiles would have an opportunity to know God as Heavenly Father through this prophesied Messiah. There are so many more. We saw that he would be put to death, that he'd be raised from the dead, that he would bring forgiveness of sins, that he would preach to the poor, that he would heal those who were sick. And there's just so much there from Isaiah. All of those just to remind us of all the things that we've seen about this prophesied Messiah. And then just a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the last one in the series, where we were looking at places like Ezekiel and Daniel and Zechariah, where we learned there about the My Servant David, not talking about David himself as king, because he'd already died, you know, some 300 years previously. But it was talking about in the line of David, the prophesied Messiah would come. My Servant David would be that prophesied Messiah. It'd be an eternal kingdom that he would be born in Bethlehem from Micah, that even such things as the triumphal entry on Palm Sunday, where they cut the palm branches and laid them down in front of him and the cloaks, and they were bowing down and worshiping Jesus as he entered into Jerusalem. All of those were prophetic passages to tell us that this is the prophesied Messiah. So today, we will see that this prophesied Messiah has indeed come. Luke chapter 2. verses 21 through 40. Would you read along with me, please, as we read the Word of God? On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, speaking of Jesus, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who is righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Would you pray with me, please? Father in heaven, we do thank you so much for your word. For through your word, we learn of you. We learn of our Lord and our Savior Jesus. And Father, we see that all that you say is true. We learn to trust in you more and more every day. Father, help us to understand that you have laid so much groundwork for the coming of your prophesied Messiah. Help us to understand that you have done this to help us to be bold, to be strong in our faith, and to trust in you in each and every moment of every day. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to see, first of all, there's an angel's testimony here. We're going to look at three testimonies this morning. The first one is the angel's testimony. And you notice what it said in verse 21. Says, on the eighth day when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. So if you look back in the same chapter, verses 9 through 12, you'll see the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. This is the shepherds out in the field. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Now the angels continue with their glory to God and hosannas and praising God during that time out in the field. But I want us to understand that the angels also had a testimony concerning this prophesied Messiah. The angel here says in verse 21 that he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. So even before Mary became pregnant with the child, the angel had already said, this is the name that this child will have. Told Joseph, told Mary. We even have it from way back in Isaiah that there was going to be the virgin birth, the son born to the virgin, and he would be called Emmanuel, God with us. And then we find that the people also acclaim him as Jesus, meaning Savior, salvation, in the time that of Jesus' ministry. So the child would be born, he would be a Savior, a Deliverer, and this term Christ, again, remember, is the equivalent to the same word Messiah, meaning the Anointed One. He would be Lord and Master. Now, at the end of Jesus' life and the beginning of the church, over in Acts chapter 2, we see what Peter himself said concerning Jesus in verse 2 and verse 36, in chapter 2, verse 36 of Acts. If you look at verse 34 and 35, you'll see it's having reference there that the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. And Peter then says, this is a fulfillment of this prophecy. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both what? Lord and Christ. Lord meaning Master, Christ meaning the Anointed One. So he is both our Master and he is also the prophesied Messiah. And so the angel's testimony is important to us, that he would be Lord and Christ. He would be that Anointed One. There's a second testimony that we want to look at briefly this morning in verses 25 through 35, and this is Simeon's testimony. Simeon was an old man. He had been serving the Lord many, many years, and in his rotation, his opportunity to serve at the temple, that's how the priesthood operated. You weren't there all the time. You took your rotation, and you had your days when you were to serve. And we'll see here that Simeon had been told by the Holy Spirit that he would not pass away until such time as he had seen the prophesied Messiah, that is, the Christ, the Anointed One. Joseph and Mary were coming to offer the sacrifice prescribed in the law for the ceremony of purification of Mary after giving birth, and also for the redeeming of Jesus as a firstborn son. Every firstborn was to be redeemed before the Lord. Notice with me just verses 27 through 32 again, and what it says there. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the Lord required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. Simeon was saying, my eyes have seen your salvation. There was no doubt in his mind. The Holy Spirit told him he wasn't going to pass away until he saw the prophesied Messiah, the Christ. And then when he sees the child, the Holy Spirit directed him to go into the temple courts. There he sees the child Jesus, an infant. He takes the child in his arms and he speaks those words to the sovereign Lord of the universe. Now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. There's no doubt that Simeon was convinced, and was convinced by the direction of the Holy Spirit. This is the one. There's no doubt. And this prophesied Messiah not only would bring salvation, but he would bring a light of revelation to all the peoples, that is, the nations of the earth, and that he would be the glory of God's people Israel. Now in verses 34 and 35, we have one other thing mentioned there. Simeon also has a message for Mary, doesn't he? And he says to Mary, "Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel.'" He was going to be a pivotal person. People were either going to accept him or reject him. And they were either going to rise or they were going to fall because of this prophesied Messiah. "And to be a sign that will be spoken against." Not everybody's going to accept him. "So that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." And then he says, "And a sword will pierce your own soul too." It's interesting to me that way back in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 14 tells us that there's an important fact that we need to understand about this prophesied Messiah, and I might as well just read it to you rather than summarize it. Isaiah 8 and verse 14. "And he will be a sanctuary, but for both houses of Israel. He will be a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall." In talking about the prophesied Messiah, it was saying he was going to be one that not everyone would accept. And because of that, many people would fall and stumble in not being able to believe that Jesus was this prophesied Messiah. Jesus would reveal the thoughts of men, even the thoughts of his own mother, Mary. And there are many things in the Gospels that show us that interaction between Jesus and his mother, Mary. There's a third testimony. It's a brief, but I want us to look at it briefly this morning. Anna's testimony in verses 36 through 38. Anna, it says, was a prophetess. She was wholly devoted to serving God. How do we know that? She was constantly in the temple. She stayed there all the time. And it says that she was constantly fasting and praying. Does that sound like dedication to anybody but me? I mean, a woman who was widowed, and now her whole life revolved around God and the temple, and she was there fasting and praying, it says, all the time. And what else does it tell us? Anna also recognized Jesus as God's Savior and gave thanks to God in verses 36 through 38. And I'm saying that, I don't want to read all of it again, but I want us to see in verse 38, "Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem." Not only was Anna a prophetess, not only did she recognize Jesus as the prophesied Messiah that had come, but she was telling everybody about it. And that's the kind of activity that God wants from us as well. When we know Jesus as the prophesied Messiah has come, and he's come into our lives, he's made a difference in us, we're no longer the person that we once were, God wants us to share that good news with others too. We've got to be excited about it, folks. Many times the years have passed, you know, we've been in Christ so many years, we've lost the fervor of sharing the good news of Jesus with others. And we need to capture that again. We need to get busy once again in sharing the good news of Jesus with others. Jesus has secured eternal redemption for his people Israel and for all the peoples of the earth. You remember, redemption simply means to buy back, to pay for and buy back something that had been either sold or taken or removed. And so God was paying the ransom because of our sins through Jesus on the cross. The sinless Lamb of God went to the cross and there shed his blood for each one of us. and for every person on the earth. And it's about his redemption. And that's what Anna's testimony or witness also includes. Looking forward to the redemption. She was talking about the redemption of Jerusalem. Do you remember what the writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 9 and verses 11 and 12? I remember George Waldron knows this passage and refers to this passage often. And it's a good passage. Where it says, when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, that is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal, what? Redemption. Eternal redemption for you. And for me, and for everyone who will give their heart and life to Jesus. Time prevents us from looking at the rest of all the prophetic passages. We can look at passages in the Old Testament. We can see the fulfillment of them in the Gospels and in the New Testament books. But it is perfectly clear that Jesus of Nazareth was the prophesied Messiah that has come, accepted by witnesses in his day, that God had touched their hearts and made it clear, this is the Messiah that I've promised. The Apostle Paul summed it up when he told Timothy, and this comes from 1 Timothy 3:16, talking about Jesus, it says, he was revealed in the flesh, was justified in the Spirit, was seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up in glory. That's our Jesus. That's our Savior. That's the prophesied Messiah who has come. This needs to motivate us, folks. It needs to motivate us to action once again. Now, many people would say, well, that's just the Bible telling us that. Just the Bible. As if it's any other book. But you know what? This book called the Bible has more witnesses, more manuscript testimony than any other historic book in the world. There are more than 5,000 manuscripts or portions of manuscripts of the Bible, in Greek, in Hebrew, in Aramaic, later in Latin. And I just want us to understand, to negate the message of the Bible, you have to say it's not trustworthy. And folks, it is one of the most trustworthy books ever written because of all of the manuscript evidence in the time in which it was written that is pointing to the truths of the gospel. These books were not written hundreds of years after the fact. They were written many times hundreds of years before the prophecies were uttered. And yet each and every prophecy came true. The prophesied Messiah has come. We need to be motivated to share the good news of Jesus with others. But if you're here this morning and you've never named Jesus as Lord and Savior, we want to offer you that opportunity as well. The prophesied Messiah has come. And he is the Lord and Christ. He is the Master and he is the Anointed One of God. And he brings salvation, redemption for your soul. If you're here this morning and you need to make a decision naming Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to do so as we stand and sing our hymn of decision this morning, hymn number 350, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus.